It is officially October, and you know what that means? It's Halloween time, and if you go to Loot Crate, this month's crate's theme is horror, and you can get $3 off that first crate if you use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. Go to lootcrate.com/SHAW, $3 off your first crate. What are you going to get in these crates that you can get for less than $20 a month? Plenty of collectibles, one-of-a-kind items, and in the month of October, we're talking Halloween, we're talking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, fun, scary things to get you set for Halloween. I imagine you get some fun stuff to put around the house for Halloween. It is that scary time of year, and no better place to get ready for it than lootcrate.com. Use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, $3 off your first crate. And welcome to PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane. We have a Bears victory to recap. Who would have thunk it? Bears beat the Lions 17-14 in game film that will be used for centuries in telling you how to play the game of football. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Get all our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider. I'm joined by my both producers today in our brand new Shaw Media Studios. I have not been in these studios
it's
yet.
It's new to you.
It's new to me. I'm loving it.
We've been here.
You've been here. That's John Sally. You here. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Sally. Get some good fantasy nuggets if you follow Jay Sally on Twitter. And of course, executive producer Dan Mott at Mott's Thoughts.
You can get some chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. Follow Dan on Twitter. Get all of our Bears content at profootballweekly.com/Bears. And go ahead and add Bears_Insider on Snapchat. It's too late to find our story from Sunday, but it was a pretty good story.
I enjoyed
chronicling the Bears' 17-14 win over the Detroit Lions. We'll talk briefly about that victory, and then we're going to get into a little fantasy football in this week's episode with Michael Beller from Sports Illustrated. And then it's time to preview the Indianapolis Colts, and we will do that with Tom James, who covers the Colts for the Terre Haute Tribune Star. And then, of course, give you our picks for Bears versus Indianapolis. And John, the Bears did almost everything right on Sunday and still almost lost.
that about sums up because the Bears' season, you know, and their roster.
So here's the thing that I've had to keep reminding people of, and Hub did this in his column. I thought Brian Hoyer played a fantastic game. 28 of 36 throwing, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. There's very few quarterbacks in the league that have thrown the ball as many times as Brian Hoyer have and not thrown it to the other team.
2 straight games, 300 yards, yep. 2 touchdowns, no picks.
Jordan Howard looked very good. The offensive line played well. Eddie Royal with a monster game. The run defense shut down Detroit. And these young corners, that's what I wrote about after the game. You're talking about 23 combined games of experience between Jacoby Glenn, DeAndre Hall, Cravon LeBlanc, and Bryce Callahan. And those guys stepped up against a very good Lions passing game to seal the victory. But John, that first half, 15 first downs, they got to at least midfield, I believe, 6 times and only had 7 points. There were so many times I thought they were entering the Sterling Archer danger zone of put the Detroit Lions away. You were 0-3. You were so close. Put them away, and they couldn't really do it until Sam Acho recovered the onside kick at the end of the game.
It's strange to say, but except for the scoring, the Bears' offense looked pretty good, which is a really, really strange thing to say because offenses are supposed to score the ball. But, you know, they look good. Jordan Howard, if you want a next-level kind of fantasy stat that I saw, I think Raymond Summerlin tweeted it, but Jeremy Langford forced a missed tackle once about every 36 carries, 36 touches. Jordan Howard forced a missed tackle, I believe, every 3.7.
Yeah, and that's the difference between the two. Yeah. And to Langford's credit, it's something he has been very upfront that he's working on it, and he knows he needs to be better at that. But for Howard to come in and be good at something that isn't Langford's strength, is impressive. And I like the way they move the pocket with some play action, rolling out. It also took a little pressure off Jordan Howard in terms of pass protection. They didn't force Brian Hoyer to sit in the pocket where Howard would have to go get that block, something that Jeremy Langford is better than him at, better at doing. But there was it was a good credit to Dal Loggins. He's been under fire a lot. That was a good game plan. Yeah, it was a good game plan. And again, I'm sitting there, like, here they go. They force a three and out. Well, first they get the ball, great return to start the game. They get to midfield and stall. They get the three and out, and it's like, how many times you can get Detroit to get a three and out? It ended up being a lot more than they probably thought before the game, but it was complementary football. It was defense doing its job, forcing three and outs, offense sustaining drives, staying on the field. They came in last in the league in time possession. They dominated time possession. It was everything you were looking for in that game. And then you step back and say, well, it was the Lions.
True, but I mean,
it's the NFL. You don't choose who you play.
Right, and this is the Bears offense you kind of expected to see, or at least hoped to see at the start of the year. It took them a month to get there, but they did get there. And yeah, it's the Lions, but like you said, that's the schedule. So now, going forward, can they do it again?
And if they can do it again, it'll be against a team with some similarities to Detroit. Indianapolis has an offense with the potential to be high-powered and a defense that is very leaky. You can get after that defense and score points.
Jordan Howard should have a monster day.
He should.
This Colts defense that cannot stop the run. Again, Zach Miller against a team that struggles against tight ends. So if you're looking for the blueprint for the Bears, it was last week against the Lions, because this is a very, very similar team.
And last week against Detroit, this week against Indy, next week against Jacksonville, bad defenses. What does that mean? Fantasy football. Everyone, we live in a fantasy football world now, and that's the way that fans watch the game. So I thought this would be the perfect time in the season to give you a little bit of fantasy football talk, specifically about the Bears, because you might want to get some of these guys in your lineup the next 2 weeks, but how do you balance it with the fact that the team isn't scoring enough points, even though they have good weapons going against bad defenses? And to do that, I talked to fantasy sports lead writer for Sports Illustrated, Michael Beller. Michael, the reason we wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about the fantasy football Bears is because I think folks are getting excited about some of the young players on offense and also seeing the defenses that are coming up for Chicago after they played Detroit last week and Jacksonville in 2 weeks and Indianapolis this week. And I want to start with you and Jordan Howard, the Jordan Howard craze that seems to have taken over fantasy football. What is kind of his range in terms of his value for fantasy people, especially this week against Indianapolis?
Yeah, this week I think he's going to be a really nice player to have, and I do think it's going to be something that lasts. I mean, we all saw what he did against the Lions a week ago, and we know that there's not really going to be a huge competition for him in the backfield. Kevin, you know this a little better than I would right now, but it's hard to imagine, you know, Joik Bell really netting any significant share of what the Bears are going to do out of the backfield, no matter what goes on the next few weeks. So you got to believe that Jordan Howard is going to have a workload at least similar to what he had against Detroit. I think that's a safe assumption for fantasy owners to make. So you look ahead to this game against the Colts this week, and it really does look, you know, sort of like all systems go for Jordan Howard. Colts have actually given up the fourth most standard league points to running backs so far this season. That's a points per game basis. Got to talk that now that we've had a few teams go on by, but fourth most points per game to the running back position. It's been a team that's been very friendly, really across the board, but especially to running backs. I mean, we can all remember what Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah did to them week one. C.J. Anderson got him in week two. T.J. Yeldon over in London looked great against this team last week, his best game of the season comfortably. So they really haven't been able to slow anyone down. And then you look across the entire landscape of the Bears offense, and where's really the playmaking ability going to come from? It's Howard. It's a little of Alshon Jeffrey, of course, Zach Miller, Kevin White dealing with another injury. It's a really narrow usage tree, and that's going to be really good news for Jordan Howard owners as well. I think that this is someone with a legitimate top 10 running back upside this week and potentially for the entire season.
And Alshon Jeffrey is the next one I want to talk about, because he is the good example of the difference between real football and fantasy football, Michael, because watching him from my vantage point, it's like, okay, he's made his big catches, he's come through when they needed him to, but he's getting double teamed a lot. And it's not like they are ignoring him, they're just giving what the taking what the defense is giving him. from a fantasy perspective, this is a guy that doesn't have a touchdown and did not do a ton against a bad pass defense last week in Detroit, goes up against Vontae Davis this week. Is Alshon Jeffrey infuriating his fantasy owners? Because you still have to start him every week. He's still the guy. But I got to imagine that's been kind of frustrating for fantasy folks.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really all that coverage is getting rolled to him, right? I mean, seven targets is his top target game so far this season. And I don't think any of us, no matter how much attention he was going to get from opposing secondaries, thought that if four games into the season, Alshon Jeffrey wouldn't have a game with more than seven targets, just 25 total on the year. So, you know, I agree that he's doing what he can do. And the Bears are, you know, making it work with all the attention that's being paid to Alshon Jeffrey. But definitely someone who has been a fantasy disappointment, no matter how much of his real life opportunity he's maxing out so far this year. As you said, you're never going to sit Alshon Jeffrey, a guy who is liable to go off in any given game. And I do think that this is going to be something that's a good matchup for him. The one thing that, you know, could potentially hurt him is other than the Vontae Davis matchup, of course, is just the overall ceiling of the Bears offense, right? I mean, we're talking about a team that hasn't scored more than 17 points in a game this season. So that is really also something that's going to hurt him. I think it hurts him a little bit more than it hurts Jordan Howard, because of the nature of the positions. Jordan Howard's going to have the ball in his hands, you know, probably 18 to 24 times this week, whereas Alshon, you know, maybe only gets, even if he sets a new season high in targets, could still just be somewhere in the neighborhood of eight or nine targets. So I do think that that is something that hurts him a little more than it hurts Howard. But we know what he is, and we know that the Bears, again, the narrow usage tree, should ultimately lead, I think, to more opportunities for Alshon, even if the coverage is there. I think we ultimately see him break through this week, finally get into the end zone for the first time. And I think he's a very strong, you know, top 15 at the wide receiver position sort of play.
Michael, Brian Hoyer, quietly, 300 yards and two touchdowns in his two appearances. Is he worth a speculative add, and how do you rank him this week?
Yeah, you know, I actually like him a lot. So most of the leagues I play in are either 2QB or Superflex, where you're starting 2QBs every week. And I rolled with him last week, and he had a great game. And I think he can do that again against this Colts team. I've got him safely as a top 20, maybe even a top 15 option for any sort of fantasy owner. And so where that comes in for most fantasy owners, guys, is he's a really good stream play this week. If you're out there streaming quarterbacks, if you're trying just to play the matchups at the position, you know, Brian Hoyer is someone who really could factor into the mix for you this week, going up against a Colts defense that really hasn't slowed anyone down just yet this season. Now, you look at the four games they've played, and every team has been able to get at them in one way or another. I think the Bears are going to be able to do that as well. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of work, I think, for Brian Hoyer. The YPA number probably isn't going to jump off the stat page at you, but he's been what he is. He's a good backup quarterback, and he can take advantage of a beneficial matchup. I think he has that here this week, and I put him in that stream category with, you know, players like Joe Flacco, also a nice stream play with the Ravens taking on the Washington Redskins this week. That's where Brian Hoyer fits into the traditional fantasy picture for me, but I can tell you in that Superflex league, I'm rolling with him again, and I'm feeling really good about it.
Joined by Michael Beller, lead fantasy sports writer at Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at @mbeller. I should mention right now, in terms of full disclosure, I'm in a league with Beller, and I am currently in first place, despite having despite making miserable moves in the waiver wire the past couple weeks and spending way too much money on Fozzie Whitaker. But that's another story for another day.
Sure.
Speaking of that waiver wire, though, is Eddie Royal a guy that is going to be a big pickup this week if he's still out there in certain leagues?
Yeah, you know, I think he's a good deep league ad. So for that league we're in, a 12-team super flex where you're starting three receivers and then an additional flex position, I think that's sort of where he fits into the fantasy picture. Someone who is a very reliable player for the Bears. We know games like last week are not going to be the norm for him, but with Kevin White, you know, dealing with another injury again, you got to imagine that his target share will probably increase a little bit, or at least stay flat. You know, just with the player Eddie Royal is and sort of the positioning habits with the Bears, assuming that you've got Alshon and Kevin White both healthy, Royal's the guy who would have his target share fluctuate most, I would think. But now that White is dealing with this injury again, it could be something where now his role in the offense, Royal's role, that is a lot more steady than maybe it looked like it would be, you know, even just a week or 2 weeks ago. So I do think, you know, deeper league owners are going to want to think about him. Obviously, we have some heavy bye weeks coming up, four teams this week, two next, and then I think both of the 2 weeks after that, there are six teams going on bye. The Bears are going to be in that mix as well, but that's really where Eddie Royal fits in, the sort of guy who you're not going to lean on every single week, but when these bye weeks do hit and when they hit heavy as they're going to in the next couple of weeks, Eddie Royal is someone who you can pluck off the bottom of your roster, put him in, and he has shown that he can thrive given matchup and given the opportunity he has in the Bears offense.
Would you rather add a guy like Eddie Royal or a guy quietly starting to get going? I've got my eye on Sammy Coates.
You know, I'd rather start Coates, and this has a lot to do with the offenses that they're in. We thought the Bears haven't scored more than 17 points. The Steelers scored more than that in the first quarter against the Chiefs on Monday night. So it's just that Pittsburgh offense. And now that we're finally getting to see what these guys can do with Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown all healthy, all out there, I mean, this is going to be an offense that I think puts up just monster games more often than not. And you want to be invested in that offense. It's going to be pulling teeth for the Bears, it appears, to be able to score regularly. The Steelers, they do it at will. So I would much rather be in that Steeler offense, and that's what would lead me to a player like Sammy Coates over Eddie Royal. The offense really is a tiebreaker there.
All right, Beller, October 16th, Bears, Jaguars, or NLCS game two?
Oh, come on, man. I mean, hopefully we're there for NLCS game two, but it's not even close. And I love the Bears and I love football, but come on. NLCS game two, absolutely. I actually have one of my best friends is getting married the day before that, NLCS game one. I'm in the wedding. So and he went to Ohio State, I went to Wisconsin, and that game is also that day. So we've been giving him a lot of trash for that. But if the Cubs are up against any sort of anything, the Cubs are going to win that one.
See, this is more reason for my hashtag no fall weddings mantra.
You do an October wedding?
Yeah, don't do it. No fall weddings. But
I know.
And then you got October 20th, Bears-Packers NLCS Game 5. And if the Cubs are there and if they get to Game 5, I can't wait to see the Chicago TV ratings of that. Because I think nationally, yeah, Bears-Packers will still have better ratings because it's sure. The Packers, it's football. But just in Chicago, I'm going on a bit of a tangent here. I coach baseball, which some of my producers know, and we have a league meeting that night. And this got scheduled like 6 weeks ago. And I emailed the commissioner. I said, A, I'm not going to be there because it's Bears-Packers. And B, there might be a Cubs-NLCS game five that night. So no fall weddings and no fall baseball meetings.
Yeah, no fall anything.
Really, right.
It takes us away from television.
It's the moral of the story. Beller, before we let you go, are the Badgers going to get back on track in the next couple weeks?
So a bye this week and then Ohio State at home the week after that. So that's going to be, I think, a really tough game as well. I mean, we know the defense. I mean, without Vince Beagle to hold Michigan to 14 points, and of course their kicker had a little something to do with that, but no Vince Beagle, best player on the defense, and you do that well in the Big House. I think that the defense proved that it is for real. I think even if they go on and lose in Madison to Ohio State, that they end up cruising through the West, and I'll actually be watching them in a few weeks in person against your Wildcats up in Evanston, so that'll be fun too.
I will be there as well, and depending on how the next couple of games go for my Cats, I might be hiding wearing like a lot of gray somewhere.
Hey, man. I've gone to every single Northwestern Wisconsin football game since I was a freshman at Wisconsin in 2003, and more often than not, they've turned out good for you and not for me. So I'm always holding my breath whenever the Badgers go to Evanston.
That's true, and I'll be holding my breath for my fantasy team, the Touchdown Trevers, and see how far they could go. Michael Beller, go follow him on Twitter, at MBeller, for all your fantasy sports needs and for a little Cubs talk as we get into really what everyone's going to be focused on in the month of October. Beller, thanks again for joining us, and we'll follow you for our fantasy tips this weekend.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Big thank you to Michael Beller, big Cubs fan, local guy, big Wisconsin Badgers fan. By the way, that league that I'm in, I've talked about this in the show before, it's the league I lost the championship on last year when Austin Seferian Jenkins caught a Hail Mary.
That's right.
Against the Bears, right in front of me where I was sitting in the press box in Tampa. I watched it happen with my own eyes. I was ready to go down the locker room, write my story. The play meant nothing. and that ball was not knocked down, and I lost that fantasy championship by like 4 points.
A play that meant nothing in the real life game, but really destroyed your weekend.
Oh, man. It was a reminder of why I can't stand fantasy football, but I play it, and I understand folks like it. And John, really good stuff from Beller there, and you're one of our fantasy experts. And I think that Alshon Jeffrey is one of those guys that, as I mentioned, we look at him differently outside the fantasy realm because from, you know, I've had a lot of people tweet at me. Although it might actually be the same guy continuously tweeting at me.
Why
are the Bears not throwing Alshon Jeffrey? And I don't think of it that way. I think of it, they are early on, and then he gets doubled up and they're not taking chances. Now, Jay Cutler might take more chances with an Alshon Jeffrey. You might have more big play potential with an Alshon Jeffrey. I know the fantasy points aren't there, but I don't think Alshon Jeffrey, you know, he's been limited a little bit by injuries. I don't think he's done anything wrong necessarily in the last month.
I'm not disappointed by Alshon Jeffrey. As a Bears fan, I'm not disappointed by Alshon Jeffrey's season so far. The Bears offense is taking what the defense gives you, and Brian Hoyer's pretty good at that. There's a reason why Hoyer has found success in this league, and it's not by taking chances. It's by, okay, if you're going to leave Eddie Royal, if you're going to leave Zach Miller, if you're going to leave Jordan Howard open, I'm going to throw to him. And if you're just going to double Alshon all day and leave a guy, you know, the Lions left Zach Miller wide open several times, that works. You can still move the ball that way. So I'm not disappointed in Alshon's performance at all.
The other fantasy thing we didn't get to that I want your take on is when Jeremy Langford returns, when Kadeem Carey returns, Howard, I think, is still going to get the bulk of the carries if he keeps playing well.
If he keeps playing well, and he's got the opportunity to against a leaky defense in the Colts this week. So, yeah.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
You didn't know what my question was.
Okay.
But I got a question.
All right.
I talked about this in Take Two with Patrick Finley, which, by the way, you can read in your Thursday edition of the Chicago Sun-Times, Daily Herald, Northwest Herald, and several newspapers around Northern Illinois and Southern Illinois. Who's going to get the goal line touches? Because that's what fantasy folks care about. Jordan Howard could get 20 carries for 90 yards, but if Jeremy Langford gets 6 carries for 12 yards and 2 touchdowns, who do you want on your fantasy team? You still want Howard, but I don't know what they're going to do. Conventional thinking tells you that you'd give it to Jordan Howard. He is the in-between-the-tackles guy. Jeremy Langford has been their goal line guy. He's been pretty good at the goal line in terms of scoring touchdowns. Then you have Kadeem Carey. They love what Kadeem Carey can do in between the tackles. Now, it's a great problem for the Bears to have in general because they're looking at all these runners that they could use in different scenarios within the game. But when you're a fantasy player, that's got to be very frustrating.
It's a total avoid situation if I can. When Jeremy Langford gets back, I'm just going to stash Howard on the bench, see what happens. If I can afford to do that, I'm absolutely doing that. I'm not rostering him in daily at all because there's just you don't know where the market share is going to go. And like you said, on the goal line, it should be Jordan Howard. But early on in the season, it was Jeremy Langford.
And who got the ball on 4th-and-1 on Sunday? Joik Bell.
Joik Bell, yeah.
Which was my dad actually he asked me about that. He goes, why Joik Bell? And I didn't really have a good answer. Because
John Fox hates your fantasy.
Yes, and I thought Joik Bell, you know, they thought they could trust him. They maybe want to try something different. I don't know. That was the worst play in the entire game for the Bears. It was executed so terribly from start to finish. But I remember last year, I think it was the Tampa game that Kadeem Carey scored a touchdown, and Adam Gase joked with us afterwards, like, that was to all you fantasy football owners back there, because let's not ignore Carey. When he gets back from that hamstring injury, I'm curious to see how he's used, because if he comes back before Langford comes back, it's Howard and Carey. Both in between the tackles, runners.
Similar type style.
You know, Howard's bigger, taller, faster, but Carey's got, they like him a lot. So that'll be...
There's something to be said for someone who has the trust of the coaching staff.
Yes. But Jordan Howard's earning that trust right now.
He is, yeah.
Let's see if he earns it when they get to the goal line. Maybe we'll learn more because, as we mentioned, they should get plenty of opportunities in the red zone on Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, Bears Colts to preview this game between 2-1-3 teams, and things are looking bad right now for the Indianapolis Colts. We went behind enemy lines with Colts beat writer Tom James. Behind enemy lines. To break down the Bears opponent this week, we talked to Tom James of the Terre Haute Tribune Star. You can follow him on Twitter at TribStarTJames. He's covered the Colts for a while, friend of the Pro Football Weekly family. And Tom, when we start with this Colts team, I got to start with the offensive line because I feel like this is a broken record story of problems for the past couple of years for Indianapolis. Where are the issues specifically this season through four games?
Well, you know, the same issue has been for the last several years, injuries. You can't keep people healthy. It's been a rotating, you know, door, who's in, who's out on the offensive line. You know, as most people know, for an offensive line to be productive, it's got to play together for a little bit. It's got to develop some chemistry, and it's hard to do that when there's always interchangeable parts and the main group is not together. And in the last game against Jacksonville, they started three rookies, Ryan Kelly, Joe Haig, and Austin Blythe. And so it's hard to develop any kind of chemistry on the offensive line when you've got guys out all the time. And so that's been the biggest issue so far there.
And it's not like Ryan Grigson has ignored this position. I mean, you mentioned Ryan Kelly's a first-round pick. You have Anthony Costanzo, former first-rounder. I mean, they have invested in this group. So as you mentioned, the injuries, what's kind of the outlook for this weekend then against the Bears in terms of if they can get some guys back?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they had two guys sit out the Jacksonville game. Joe Wright, the usual starting right tackle, has been battling a back issue since the end of training camp, and he tried to come back and play. He retweaked it and did not play last week. Denzel Good, who played tackle last year as a rookie and showed some promise, they moved him inside the guard and has gotten better and has started to play well. And then he got hurt. He hurt his back. And so if those guys come back, then that kind of eases some things around. Joe Haig, the rookie from North Dakota State, has played well as a utility guy and could end up being a starter at some point. And Ryan Kelly has played well as a rookie. So if they can get a core group, stick together for a while, they've got a chance to be okay and maybe down the line pretty good. But until that happens, it's just going to be a kind of a train wreck.
And lucky for Indianapolis, the Bears are not very good rushing the passer, so this could be a weakness versus weakness situation there. And that brings me to Andrew Luck. And I think if you look at his numbers in a vacuum, Tom, I mean, it looks like he's putting up numbers that you would expect from Andrew Luck. And watching games, he's still making the type of plays that, with that arm and with his ability to extend the plays. How have you evaluated him in the first month, you know, coming off last year's injury?
I think he's played pretty good for the most part. I mean, I think that he still, you know, can be a turnover machine. I mean, but I think a lot of that comes from the talent around him is not what it should be. And so he's such a competitive guy. He's trying to make plays. He's trying to make things happen. We saw the same thing happen early in Peyton Manning's career, where he was trying to make every play, trying to make the perfect throw, trying to make every play himself. And he had guys like Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne to work with. And you look at what Andrew's got to work with, and he's got T.Y. Hilton. He's got an aging Frank Gore at running back, a developing Dorsett at Philip Dorsett receiver. Dante Moncrief is out with a shoulder injury. He's trying to make plays. He's forcing things. And then he's made some bad decisions on a couple throws. And the fact that he keeps getting hit. I think he got sacked six times against Jacksonville, got hit on 16 occasions on dropbacks. He's been taking a pounding.
And you mentioned some of those receivers, and I think that's going to be, you know, maybe the biggest matchup of the game where the Colts can take advantage is with Hilton and Dorsett being able to stretch the field against the Bears secondary that's got played well against Detroit, but has a lot of inexperience. Those two guys, if Luck has the time and is able to find those two guys, how hard is it for defenses to contain them with their speed?
Oh, I think it'd be tough because I think Dorsett really gives them something. I mean, the Colts took a little hit by taking Dorsett in the first round when they took him. But he's been a guy that, if healthy and if he could, you know, learn the offense, and he has shown signs of doing that, he can be a big play receiver. It can be a guy taking pressure off T.Y. Hilton. And Moncrief, when healthy, has proven that he could be kind of a developed, I won't say Reggie Wayne caliber, but heading that in that direction. So, yeah, I think that he could have some success if those guys can break free. And same with Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen did not have a good game with Jacksonville. He's the guy they kept instead of keeping Colby Fleener at tight end. And Dwayne's got to pick it up, and he's got to play better.
Talking Colts right now with Tom James. You can follow him on Twitter at TribStarTJames. And Tom, let's flip to the defense. What's wrong right now with the Colts pass rush?
There is none. I mean, there is none. I mean, they've got to try to develop, you know, different schemes. They've got to scheme a pass rush because Robert Mathis, God love him, has been a great player, all-time sack leader, franchise history. He is just stat-wise, he hasn't done anything. He's frustrated. He's been close on several occasions. I know the Denver game, there was two, three times where he was right there to make a sack or strip sack and didn't happen. And he's frustrated. He's kind of taken the blame on himself for his start this year. But if he doesn't, he's the only true pass rusher on this team, and he's coming off, you know, Achilles injury a couple years ago. He's 35 years old. Until they find a young guy to take his place, they're going to have to scheme a pass rush, and they've been having problems doing that.
The secondary got Vontae Davis back, and you know, I think folks in the Chicago area remember him from his time at University of Illinois, of course. He's become one of the better corners in the league. I imagine he'll be matched up with Alshon Jeffrey often on Sunday. What is having him back? How does that help the secondary?
It helps a lot, and you have him healthy, and they picked up Antonio Cromartie a couple of weeks ago when Vontae was out with a foot injury. And you know, I think that if you could have a corners of Vontae and Cromartie, even an aging Cromartie, that's not too bad. And then Patrick Robinson, who they picked up in the offseason from San Diego, has been kind of an injury machine himself. He's had concussion issues. He's had different things happen to him in training camp. So if he can ever get healthy and stay healthy and be that slot corner along with Darius Butler, that's not a bad combination at cornerback for the Colts.
Tom, you followed this team, covered this team for a while, and you were obviously around them last year when they went through all the turbulence and, of course, the end of the season where everyone thought that Pagano was gone and then the emotional bringing back of Pagano and Gregson and the contracts. Is this the type of team that can enter Sunday looking at their record, looking at the Bears with that kind of sense of urgency, must win? Because I think when you look at NFL teams on paper, you would expect most teams with that kind of record to have that kind of morale and that kind of mentality. But with what's gone on with this team over the years, is this the type of team that could rally like that, even though they've struggled?
Yeah, I think it can. We've seen it before. I mean, where they've kind of had their backs to the wall. And the fact that they've got they're coming off a really bad loss against Jacksonville, and coming home, a lot of people are mad at them right now. Fans aren't happy. I'm sure Jim Irsay's not happy. So it's a coaching staff and a GM that this is a game. This is a must win game. If they're gonna get their season turned around in a hurry, it's got to start on Sunday against Chicago. And I think the players realize that. Coaching staff realizes it, and if they don't come out and play well on Sunday, then who knows what's going to happen.
Is there a matchup, kind of an X factor that you're looking to in this Bears-Colts game that could swing it in a direction of either team?
I don't know. I mean, I think defensively for Chicago, I think Jarrell Freeman, he's got a point to prove with the Colts. I think he kind of wanted to stay in Indianapolis. They couldn't work out a deal. They decided to let him go, and he's staying with Chicago. And he's having, from what I understand, playing pretty well. So I think if he gets going and then has a big game, that could swing things. And he knows his offense. He knows all the offensive guys. So that should be interesting. I think on the Colts side, I think Andrew Luck, if he can stay upright, if he can get time to make some plays happen, he could be the big factor for Indianapolis. I mean, he's shown the ability to do it. He's got to play a complete game. It's kind of been hit and miss with him and this year. He'll start out slow, and that's what the Colts have to do. They have to come out fast, and they haven't been able to do that this year. Every game has been to get behind by 10 points, 14 points, and they have to battle back. And they can't afford to do that anymore.
Well, I think if you're Ryan Grigson or Jim Irsay or Chuck Pagano, you shouldn't be thrilled that a matchup hosting a 1-3 Bears team led by Brian Hoyer, when you have Andrew Luck and it still looks like it could be a really close game, shows you kind of where Indy's at, shows you where Chicago's at. Tom, I think we could all agree this might not be the prettiest of games, but we'll hope that it's a competitive one there in Lucas Oil Stadium. Tom James, follow him on Twitter at TribStarTJames to get your Colts info for the week. And Tom, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in Indy on Sunday.
Sure, Kevin, anytime.
Big thank you to Tom James, friend of the Pro Football Weekly family, who's our Colts correspondent back in the day. And one thing I didn't touch on with Tom is that the Colts coming back from London, first team to come back from London without a bye. And this is something that they requested. They did not want an early bye. Their bye's coming in week 10. Now, it was a morning game. So they actually, I think it might have been Peter King who talked about this. If you look at their travel schedule, they got back to Indianapolis around the same time they might have if they had a Sunday afternoon road game based on the travel and gaining some time coming back west. But still, you can't ignore the jet lag. And it's not even the jet lag. It's just this is a team that's got to be down in the dumps right now. That's why I asked Tom about the mentality of the team and if this is the type of team that's going to rally. This is a team that obviously loves Chuck Pagano, and they have the quarterback, but oh my gosh, have they looked bad in the first month of the season.
There are holes everywhere on that team. You look at the offensive line, you're starting three rookies. Dante Moncrief was supposed to be a huge part of their offense and has been out since week one with a shoulder injury. And that has forced, you know, other guys to step up into roles that I don't think they're ready for. And that defense is borderline all-time bad, especially, you know, when they were missing Vontae Davis, who's back, obviously. But it's a terrible secondary, terrible linebackers, and a defensive line that can't really get home. So this should open up a lot of opportunity for Bears offense that, you know, has done all right for the past 2 weeks.
And if Brian Hoyer protects the ball again, if they get the run game going, they're going to have a great chance to win. Here's who I'm putting the spotlight on. It's the Bears safeties, who haven't really been tested much this season. I mean, how many times have you really noticed Harold Jones-Corte or Adrian Amos? I mean, Amos had some big hits.
The Amos thing, we've talked about this before the season. He can't be just a guy,
yeah. And that's all he's been. Let me rephrase. How many times have you noticed him in pass coverage? Either of those guys.
Well, none, which is actually a decent thing.
Yeah. But I think that they're going to have situations where they're going to be called upon to potentially make a play because you have guys like T.Y. Hilton, Philip Dorsett, and someone who can throw them the ball, and Andrew Luck, and someone who extends plays. Luck can get outside the pocket, break tackles. Akeem Hicks was talking to us about it on Monday. He knows that Luck's slippery, and he's strong, and he's big. He's hard to bring down, and you move outside of the pocket, safeties cannot cheat up. They cannot get beat deep. So I'm putting kind of the focus on those two guys because I think they might be in position to make a play, and let's see if they can do it. If they make plays, if they don't get beat deep, you know, the Bears could potentially get us another win.
I think Hilton gets loose for one this week. Just he's too talented. Luck is too talented. Play, like you said, plays will break down. I think Hilton gets loose for one at least. But, yeah, the safeties have to step up and have to maintain their discipline.
Let's before we get to our picks, quick round the table, let's talk television. We know our listeners like TV shows. I told John earlier I started Timeless this week, and I think I liked it. But there was a lot of confusing things that are going to happen in an episode of a show that involves time travel.
It's true, and I think you have to know your history. I didn't see the show, but based on promos,
for the episode
you have
one,
to know what the Hindenburg
yeah,
is.
Go do a Wikipedia Hindenburg search. The Voice, fantastic. Great blind auditions on The Voice past couple weeks. And I got to tell you guys, I started watching This Is Us.
I did too.
I think it's good.
I did too. So have you watched both episodes?
I don't know why I have so much surprise in my voice. I know, right? I have watched both episodes and I liked it. I'm curious to see where it's going.
I'm hoping it's not like a twist at the end of every episode. I hope that's not
the
thing. But I enjoyed the first two twists.
I think it's been an entertaining show through two episodes. And then my other show, Blacklist, that's my jam. And it's been exciting.
Okay.
I'm kind of getting nostalgic. I still kind of miss some of the stuff from season one. You know, when you were a 24 guy, right?
I was.
And
yeah.
Dan, were you 24?
I watched it a little bit.
There were periodic times in 24 where there'd be like a great episode, and then there'd be like a bad episode. And you're like, that's why the show's on HBO, because it's all the seasons are shorter. Mm-hmm. And when you have 24 episodes in a season, you're gonna have clunkers. And I think that the proliferation of some of these premium channel series and the ability to watch them, you're like, oh man, if Blacklist was a 12 episode show,
I might be in for that.
Yeah.
I can't do 20 episodes of The Blacklist.
Any TV updates from you guys?
Westworld on
okay.
HBO.
Okay, yeah, that's right. You said that.
It's based off a Michael Crichton book. But it is, yeah, I'm in. It's interesting. There's a lot of different ways that show could go right now, but asking a lot of good and interesting questions about humanity.
All right. Dan?
I've been enjoying this new season of Goldbergs.
Oh, all right.
Which
reminds me, L'Shana Tova, Happy New Year to my Jewish brethren out there. It's the New Year week.
Happy New Year.
Wishing everybody a sweet New Year. We have apples and honey
at
this time of year. So it's the big 5777. That's our year.
That's our year.
I think. Which I'm like, someone said to me, well, wasn't it 5777 like 3 years ago? We get a little confused, but. All right, that's a perfect segue into our picks for Bears-Colts. Let me effort and get the spread for our listeners, just for fun. Just want to get the spread out there for fun.
Just in case you were curious.
Just in case you're curious, because to steal a line from friend of the program, Barstool Big Cat, good teams win, great teams cover. There were some bad beats in college football 2 weeks ago. I think it was a UCLA-Stanford,
yes.
I want to say. It was a really bad beat.
I heard at some casinos they lost hundreds of thousands of dollars off of.
And I appreciate when Al Michaels references the spread or the over-under, like I know he did during Bears-Cowboys. All right, so right now, we're taping this Tuesday at noon. The Colts are 4.5-point favorites. So I think that's the Andrew Luck factor. It's the home field factor. That's the Bears just beat the Lions, who cares factor. So 4.5 points. Dan Mott, we'll start with you. Who you got?
I'm actually going to take the Colts.
Taking the Colts.
Yeah, I've picked the Bears last couple times that I've had the opportunity to, and I had them picked last week and they won, but I don't know. I think the Colts are going to want to redeem themselves and take a win at home and shut up the naysayers.
All right. I was supposed to be keeping track of these picks, but I haven't been, so.
Do you have a score for this one?
I don't think it's going to be very high scoring, so I'll say let's go Colts 14, and let's say Bears 7.
Wow,
Very low scoring,
but the Colts cover.
All right,
John Sally.
So I think it'll be a little higher scoring than that is my guess, but not a shootout. I think you've got the potential for a fair amount of run game success, at least on the Bears side. I said last week the Bears have to prove it, and they did. So I'm actually going with the same score last week, but the Bears to win. So Bears 26, Colts 21.
Wow. All right. Jumping on the Bears bandwagon. So I've gone back and forth this game because I think if the Bears do what they did last week,
they should win.
They should win. But I think that's still a big ask when you have a lot of young players. You're going on the road to a team that has to have that desperation mode. And now you could argue the Bears should still be in desperation mode. They're 1-3 also, and they have to understand that. But I still give the ultimate edge to Indianapolis to get the win. The Bears get the backdoor cover. I got Indianapolis. I'll stick with your 26. Bears 24. I just don't have enough confidence in that Bears pass rush to do enough against Andrew Luck, and I think he's going to make the big plays necessary to get the ultimate victory. But, of course, everyone's going to be watching Cubs on Friday
Obviously.
And Saturday. But there's no Cubs on Sunday.
No Cubs on Sunday.
So Friday, Saturday, get your Cubs in. Sunday, get your Bears-Colts in. And hopefully this podcast gets you ready for the weekend, both Cubs, Bears, and some television shows to watch. All right, big thank yous to pass around Michael Beller from Sports Illustrated, talking fantasy football with us, and Tom James, talking Bears-Colts. For my executive producer, Dan Mott, my associate producer, John Solly, I'm Kevin Fishbane. Go check out all of our Bears coverage at profootballweekly.com/Bears. We got more Bears talk for you next week.